For years, as I said this morning, people have been trying to justify the justify disagreements and contradictions in denominationalism by simply saying, well, one person sees it one way and one person sees it differently, and one interpretation is as good as another. And with that, they pretty well dismiss it. But the purpose of our study has been to explore the idea of one belief or interpretation of the Bible is as good as another. That's what we've been studying. And this evening, I'd like for us to examine together what the Bible itself says. And there again, I pointed out this morning that many people have never really given much consideration to that. Obviously, different views of the Bible do exist, and the question is whether or not all these views are acceptable to God, or is it possible that we may be lost even though we follow a view of the Bible that we sincerely believe to be true? And so we're going to continue with the study we started this morning. I asked one question and answered one question in this morning's lesson. Now, I don't want you to get upset, but I got about three or four more, and I don't think it's going to take long. So just if you start getting tired, just grab your pillow over there and wrap up in the blanket and keep on listening. The next question we want to deal with is it necessary to understand the Bible the way? Now, this morning, we talked about different views of the Bible, and then people saying, well, it's okay, everybody can have their own view and everything. But I want us to ask and answer this question: is it necessary to understand the Bible life? Or could it be that God doesn't really care? Does God not care whether we understand His Word? Or maybe one interpretation is just as good as the other because God accepts everybody, regardless of whether or not they understand the Bible. Now, this is not God's Word that I'm putting out here, and I think you know that. I want us to consider together the importance of knowing the truth. I stated this morning, and you were in the audience, I stated this morning that truth is only one thing. And it is not a bunch of things. It's one thing. And since God's Word has a true meaning, how important is it for us to understand what that meaning is? In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul made the statement, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, for you to say, well, you know, you can understand it your way and I can understand it mine, that falls in the category of being unwise. You notice that there. Unwise. But understanding what the will of the Lord is, getting rid of this idea, that idea, and whatever other idea, and understanding what the will of the Lord is what Paul's talking about. We should not be unwise, but understand what God's will is. So God has a will for us to live by, and He expects us to learn what that will is. Now, it's not specifically telling me you should do this on such a day and do that. That's not what I'm talking about. He has a will for man's salvation, and everybody has to find the same way, because there's only one. Now, how do I know that? Well, when I was a little boy child, one of the few verses I could quote was John 8 and 32. And I used to quote it pretty frequently. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now notice the context of Jesus here. Is speaking to Jews who believed in him. He said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? Well, going down to verse 34, and you find out it's talking about being free from the truth. The truth makes you free from the bondage to sin. That's what we're talking about. Now, we all need to be freed from the bondage of sin. Why? Because all have committed sin. And the wages of sin is eternal death or separation from God and his presence. Simple as that. Well, you say, well, now, you said, you shall know the truth. But that can be anything. Your truth, my truth. No, no. We are only talking about one truth. And the truth we're talking about is God's word. In the garden, Jesus prayed, sanctify them in your word. Your word is truth. And truth can set us free from sin. But Jesus said, truth only frees us if we know it. We know it. Now, let's ponder this for a moment. If someone does not know the truth but believes error, now, let's ponder that for just a moment. Is he still saved from sin? Think about it. Jesus said, only by knowing the truth can you be saved. No, he's not. No, absolutely. Only by knowing the truth can we be saved. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, we find out that the things that are good and acceptable in the sight of God are whoever desires all men to be saved. Who? What? Who does he desire? God desires what? All men to be saved, I want you to get this, and come to a knowledge of the truth. This is why knowing the truth is so important. Peter says in 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. You obey it. The truth is something to be obeyed. And look at verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. To be purified from sin, we must be born again. How? By obeying the truth of God's word. But again, you can't obey the truth unless you know it. So one who fails to know what God's word tells him to do to be saved is a person who cannot be purified from his sin. And consequently, he is doomed to eternal death or eternal separation from God. But while we're on this subject, I want to consider a little bit more about the danger of not knowing the truth. And I want you to consider these thoughts. If conflicting interpretations of the Bible are acceptable to God, then it really doesn't matter whether you accept the truth or some false teaching. It doesn't make any difference. But really, what does the Bible say about this? Well, look at Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. Paul tells the brethren in Galatia, but if we or an angel from heaven preached any other gospel to you than what we've preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Now, what does the Bible say about this? Well, a person is accursed if they preach a doctrine that's contrary to the true meaning of Jesus' gospel. Simple as that. So the idea that people can preach and practice things that contradict the gospel, yet still please God, is simply not so. Absolutely. I want to turn your attention over to Hosea. And this is one of the things that's wrong with this different interpretation idea. Hosea says, my people, this is God speaking through the prophet, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Now, this is a pretty powerful statement. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They maybe at one time had a brief familiarity with the truth, but they've lost it. And they're destroyed because of lack of knowledge. In our reading in Romans chapter 2, specifically verses 6 through 10, Paul tells us that at the judgment, those who do not obey the truth. Now, just a moment. Truth has to be obeyed. That's right. Haven't you seen that everywhere we've been looking? Truth has to be obeyed. But what's going to happen? They're going to receive indignation and wrath and tribulation and anguish. But knowing and obeying the truth leads to eternal life, and a failure to obey and to know the truth leads to eternal punishment. To say that one interpretation is as good as another would be to say that people who don't know and obey the truth are just as well off as those who have known and obeyed the truth. And that, how can that be? It just can't. The Bible says this is simply not so. To be saved, we must understand what God says for us to do to please Him. So proper interpretation of the Bible leads to eternal life. But improper interpretation leads to eternal punishment. As simple as that. But moving on, question number 3. Is the Bible impossible to understand? You know, some people believe that it's not possible to determine exactly what the Bible really means. It's a nice book, and it has a lot of good things in it, but you just can't really determine what exactly it's talking about. And you know, if this were true, then one interpretation would be as good as another. But it's simply not. Because if that were the case, nobody could figure out what it means. It would be a pointless endeavor. But as we have just learned, we must understand the Bible to be saved. If in fact we cannot understand it, we're all doomed. But consider this evidence now, that we really can understand the Bible. Turn over to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. This says, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, this is the prophet Isaiah speaking for God, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God's word does not return to him void. What? It accomplishes what he intends for it to accomplish. But we're made to ask, what is its purpose? What is its purpose? Well, he sent it to make known his will for man. Notice in Romans 16:25-26, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but has been made manifest by the prophetic scriptures and has been made known to all nations according to the commandments of the everlasting God. Now, I want you to look at that last part. For obedience to the faith. How is it possible to obey the faith if we can't figure out what it is? I can't understand it. If the average person cannot understand, excuse me, can't understand what the Bible says, the Bible has failed. It has not prospered in accomplishing God's purpose at all. But expressly said it would, he said it would not fail. So what does that mean? People are able to understand it. Notice also that God's testimony enlightens men and makes us wise. Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8, the law of the Lord is perfect. Oh, that was one I could have had you lead that one. Sorry. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. But also, and very closely related to this, his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Now, just a moment. How could the Bible enlighten and guide us if it was impossible to understand? Think about that. Yet Jesus commands us all to understand his words. I want you to look at Mark 7, verse 14. He had called the multitude to himself, and he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. Now, Jesus addressed great multitudes of common, ordinary people, many of whom were not even well educated. The Bible was not written for specially trained religious leaders. It was written for all people. Every one of these people that Jesus addressed were commanded to hear and understand the things he said. Jesus' teaching was worded in such a way that the average person could understand it if he studies and meditates diligently. Notice with me, if you will, Mark chapter 12 and verse 37. Therefore, David himself calls him Lord. How is he then his son? Now look at this last phrase. And the common people heard him gladly. The common people heard him gladly. In Acts 17 and verse 11, notice the comment made here in the text about those in Berea being more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. What? Why were they fair-minded? They received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures to find out whether these things were so. It is simply not true that his teachings cannot be understood. The scriptures are inspired to profitably teach us. Back 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. This passage, like many others, tells us that the scriptures are the written words contained the very words of God himself. Now, just a minute. How do you know that? Well, I turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. Notice what Paul says. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Teaches what? Words which the Holy Spirit teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, if these words cannot be understood, then either God could not or would not express himself clearly. That is the only alternative. But we know that God intended for his will to be revealed, and it was to be revealed understandably. He wanted to say what he wanted to say, and man was to understand what he meant. And remember that 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, clearly again, God's inspired scriptures are profitable to teach and instruct us and provide us for every good work. Now, if we can't understand the scriptures, how do they profit us at all in any of these ways? You know, instructions for products come in many foreign languages. I got a manual that came with my little air conditioner, and I opened it up, and here's one page and two pages, and that's it. That's all of it that's in English, and the thing's this thick. Every language, including Arabic, all these languages. Well, how profitable to me are those instructions in Arabic? Now, I can't understand it. But God's word is profitable, so we can understand it. The Bible has a true meaning that we all can understand. Now, if we contradict one another about what the Bible teaches us to do to be saved, it must be because someone does not properly understand. Now, I made that statement this morning, but I'm going to make another one. That misunderstanding would be our fault, not God's. Either we did not study enough, or we do not have an open, honest heart. In any case, it is simply not true that one can interpret, and our one interpretation is as good as another, period. But how about sincerity? Is sincerity enough? You know, when people interpret the Bible in contradictory ways, other people try to say, well, you know, the people who hold these views are real sincere. But we've seen that God requires men to understand and obey his will to be saved. So the question is, will God overlook error as long as a person is so sincere? Let's think about that. Let's put it another way. Will error save as well as truth? As long as a person really believes the error. You know, the first thing that comes to my mind is Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Let's just suppose that a man accidentally steps on board a plane for Los Angeles, sincerely thinking that it's a plane for New York. Now, he was dead sincere. Will the plane take him to New York just because he believed it would? No. No, I'm afraid not. Likewise, in religion, if a course of action is sinful, following that course still leads to the consequences. No matter how sincere the people are who follow it. Paul very succinctly tells us in Romans 10 and the first three verses that zeal, but not according to knowledge, is not acceptable to God. He says in verse 3, they being ignorant, as the Jews as a nation, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Zeal, but not knowledge. Were they saved? No. They still needed salvation. You know, a visitor once dropped in on a home and stayed overnight. Come morning time, got ready to brush their teeth, found a tube in the medicine cabinet, sincerely thinking that it contained toothpaste, and she brushed her teeth until she realized that it was diaper rash medication. She made a wrong decision or a wrong interpretation, but I'm confident she did it in sincerity. Now, was her interpretation as good as the truth? No. Everybody can see that. Sincerity does not make a belief true, period. We must sincerely know and obey the truth. I'm reminded of Saul of Tarsus. Saul was sincere as he could be, but he was still lost. In Acts 26, we're told that Paul thought that he must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. In Acts 23, Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, "Men and brethren, I've lived in all good conscience before God until this day." As a Jew, he really believed he should persecute those who believe in Christ. But was God pleased? No. But he was so sincere. Yeah. In fact, he was sincere enough that in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, he called himself the chief of sinners. Why? Because he persecuted the way of righteousness. Sincerely believing a lie does not change the fact that it's not a lie, or that it is a lie. Nor does it change the consequences to your soul if you practice that lie, no matter how sincere you may be. None of this means that we should be hypocritical or should deliberately violate our conscience either. The point is that being sincere is not enough. We may be wrong. We may be wrong, even when we do what we sincerely believe to be right. We are right only when we know the truth and then sincerely obey it. Error is still error, no matter how sincere that we may be when we believe it. Jesus said we must know the truth, so we must not accept any interpretation of the Bible that is not according to truth. And I mentioned this morning about the plan of salvation. Jesus said, not everyone who said, Matthew 7, verse 21. Do I have that up there yet? There it is. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. We must know his will and do his will. Now, question 5. Is division acceptable? What is the real reason that we have found for people saying that one interpretation is as good as another? It's because they hope that all sincere religious people will receive eternal life despite the fact that they contradict one another. This doctrine is an attempt to justify people despite their religious differences. And what do those differences gender? Division. But what does God think about division? Well, I'm reminded in the garden, in John 17, which referred to just a moment ago, Jesus said, beginning with verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. He prayed for unity, just like he and his Father were one. But when people say all different interpretations of the Bible are equally good, they actually justify and perpetuate division because people see no reason to change. And the result promotes the very opposite of what Jesus prayed for. But Jesus isn't the only one that taught on the subject, because 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul was teaching on the subject too. In verse 13, he says, is Jesus divided? No. Why? Well, Jesus doesn't break up everything in the gospel. He simply doesn't contradict himself. What do we do then? We follow what he has revealed. And we are united on it, not divided. Division is condemned, that you all might be of the same mind and of the same spirit. Division is condemned. But how can we do this? Well, I believe very quite simply that we need to strive for peace based on God's plan for unity. And I want us to turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4, and begin reading with verse 3. True unity is based on the things that there are seven of. And each one of these, there's only one of them in God's true plan. There is one faith. One faith. One God. One Father. But there are many false ones. We have also learned that this true faith has a true meaning. And the Bible and it's in such a way that it can be understood by anyone who reads it. To be saved, we must study it and obey it. And when we do so, We will be united in one faith, one God, one Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in you all. In fact, God rebukes division and demands unity. And we displease him when we promote doctrines that justify division. But the doctrine that one interpretation is as good as another justifies division, doesn't it? God neither teaches it nor accepts it. When two churches or two teachers of God's word disagree about what people should do to please God, one of two possibilities is true. Either the first view is correct and the second view is wrong, or the second view is correct and the first view is wrong, or they are both wrong. But there is no possibility for two contradictory views to both be correct. Somebody is wrong. Every accountable person needs to understand what God teaches on how to be saved. And this requires us to study and meditate day and night. And when we do understand, we will be united with all others who understand. What does the Bible teach about salvation? Hear the gospel, of course. Romans 10, verse 17. Must hear the gospel. Believe in Jesus and the gospel. Actually, to believe in the gospel is important, because Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. John 8, verse 24. But we also must repent. Acts 17 and 30 tells us that God commands all men everywhere to repent. And we must be ready to confess Christ. In addition to Romans 10, 9 and 10, there's also Acts 8, verse 37, where Philip and the eunuch are riding along in the chariot. And he said, what keeps me from being baptized? And he said, if you believe with all of your heart, you may. And he said, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And upon his confession, he went down into the water and he was immersed, baptized, for the purpose of having his sins washed away. And we learn the connection between that and the blood of Jesus in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 and 4. But that's not all. That's not all. We also find that we have a responsibility to continue serving God faithfully. Every day of our lives, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6 and verse 33, and 1 Corinthians 15, 58, knowing that our work is not in vain if we're serving the Lord. Have you learned and obeyed God's true plan for salvation? And are you living faithfully as his child today? Leave the lesson with you for now. Appreciate your careful attention to the things that we have been talking about in this lesson twice today. And